When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My Bruins embarrassed by the Dallas Stars last night. An all-around pathetic effort. And you can talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. It is a Patriots Friday. And we will talk with Jelani Tavai, Patriots linebacker, coming up in about 15 minutes or so. There are leads remaining this morning. And let's get to them. Hello, Courtney.
Hello, good morning, everybody. Great opening for my lead, because a rare Bruins lead for me. Them giving up seven goals last night, Swayman giving up seven goals last night, and then you go back to October 31st against the Hurricanes, where they gave up eight goals. That is the first time since 2008 that a Bruins team has given up seven or more goals in a 15-day span. Now, if you go back to that 31st of October, that was the game that Swayman got pulled. I brought it up to Mike Milbury yesterday. There are some people saying that maybe we kept the wrong guy or maybe splitting up the two goalies was a bad idea. I'm telling you, you need to keep an eye on this, because it seems like when the Bruins have really struggled out on the ice, Swayman is in goal. It's happened over and over again, and I'm not putting all of the woes that this Bruins team has on Swayman, but I am saying that there was something special about those two being together and giving the reassurance that if you're off one night, you've got another excellent goalie that can step in. I do not think that it's a rust thing, Wiggy, and I don't know how deep into the season you would give Swayman before you say, no, it's not just a rust because he didn't sign and didn't get, you know, the time on the ice that other guys may have gotten. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, there is something up with Swayman. Mm.
And you don't think it has anything to do with, as you mentioned, the holdout and the missed training camp? And
no, that's why, like, he's gotten enough games under his belt, enough practice under his belt, so it's not a rust thing.
But didn't Montgomery say, or did they say this on the broadcast last night, when Montgomery was like, the goalie has kept them in a better situation?
Well, no, I just gave you two. I just gave you two examples in two weeks. Yeah, but in 2 weeks,
those are two blowout games.
I mean, I heard Montgomery after the game say that he thought about pulling him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe he said that at some point. I don't know. Maybe that was prior to the game he said it. But I
think Swayman is the least of your problems.
I mean, that first goal was on him last night. The rest of them really weren't. Right. Like, the guys. The D-men are not clearing guys out in front of him.
I'm telling you, though, it's always when he is in goal that you're seeing the rest of the team not show up.
Well, that's because the majority of the time he's in goal now that he's your number one.
Okay.
So that's what you're going to see.
All right, Courtney, great lead. Thank you. Wiggy, good morning.
All right, good morning. So I don't know how much I believe this about the Patriots asking around other teams on how to handle a young quarterback.
A couple legit people have been reporting it. So they have been reporting that the Crafts have been calling around, seeking advice on the development of Drake May, and perhaps while doing that, inquiring when it comes to offensive coordinator and the future at that position.
If you'd like to hear audio from one of those people reporting it, I have some for you, Greg.
Sure. Who are you going with, Phil Breer?
This is Burt Breer.
Okay.
But they have done some research over the last few weeks on how to handle a young quarterback. And, you know, obviously they failed with Mac Jones from 2021 through 2023. So the Crafts have, you know, asked people and done their homework on how the right way to handle a young quarterback is and how they're going to do that going forward.
Okay.
They didn't fail with Mac. Mac sucked. And sorry, Wiggy, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say, rather than calling teams and asking about what you could do with the young quarterback, I think it's very important that you start calling teams and asking about some of their wide receivers. Because if you look at the league, I think that that's what Drake May's going to need to really take him to another level. Pick up the phone. I'd call after watching that Philadelphia game last night. I'd call in after the season and I'd inquire about Devonta Smith, the wide receiver, yeah, because he doesn't touch the ball. I'd pick up the phone and
but
call.
That's Elliot Wolf's job, is to be out there. Like, why are they meddling? Like,
I don't know what, you know, if you believe it, it's a very strange, it's not a good look.
But aren't you doing damage to Jerod Mayo when you're doing that, calling around behind his back?
Yeah, it's not a very good look.
God, do these people, like, has it ever been clearer that, I don't know, we don't have to do Bill versus Brady, please, I hate that topic, but isn't it apparent to everybody that the Krafts had nothing to do with it? Like, look at them with the dynasty, with Brady and Belichick and all the winning. Like, why would you ever make this public, even if you were doing it? It sounds so amateur.
Do you think they're making it public, or do you think that other around the league, they're saying, wait a minute, the Krafts are calling us about the development of Drake May and what's the best way to develop a young quarterback?
I think that they want to be viewed as proactive.
Yeah, but is that proactive, though? That's not a good look.
Bert Breer is very close with Elliot Wolf. Okay. I trust his sourcing on this. I don't believe he's getting that from other teams.
I spin this in a way, in a totally different light?
Sure.
A caller did this for me and Fitzy last night, and I thought it was brilliant. Is this any way that the Krafts are going around asking people if they're doing it the right way, like in arrogance, kind of being like, hey, you think we're doing a good job with our rookie quarterback? No Bill Belichick here. Oh, no problems here. Kind of thing. Like how,
I mean, if that's so petty, if that's what they're doing, Shime, I mean, what a waste of time.
But like, if you're doing it outside of that, like you seem incompetent. So it's either, yeah, but that's way worse. Like, to me, it's either incompetence or arrogance.
It's just, how do you expect Jerod Mayo, who you identified as your head coach 5 years ago, to do his job if you're undercutting him and calling around asking others how he should be developing the quarterback? He's the head coach.
Right, Greg. And we talked to Jerod, and he said he talks to Robert every day almost. Yeah. I don't know
But so did the old coach. And at the same time, the old coach was taught when he was here employed and he was talking to Robert. Robert had to hang the phone up because he had a secret meeting set up with Jerod Mayo.
Right, but I just don't think
let's be honest.
What do you gain if you're Robert from calling and asking around? Like, all it does is put a bad look.
Okay, Wiggy,
Mayo.
You are 1,000% right with everything you just said.
Uh-huh.
What does Kraft gain from going on the Charlemagne the God program and tell everybody he indeed fired Bill when he went through the whole song and dance about the mutual parting of ways?
That, I think, is more about, hey, it wasn't just Tom and Bill. I was also a part of it.
No, but he said something that he went out of his way to avoid by doing that stupid press conference with Bill Belichick, and then he joins Charlemagne the God and says, yeah, I fired him. It was time.
Yeah.
Like, he's all over the map because he's lost. He made the wrong decision. He's never been able to get back where he wanted to be before, and now he's so obsessed with Canton, Ohio, that he's making it seem like he's more a part of the development of Drake May than otherwise thought, so that maybe some voter in the next week puts him into Canton.
Wiggy, great lead.
You got it.
And we could talk about that all day long. Michigan is offering 2025 number one recruit and LSU quarterback commit Bryce Underwood $10.5 million.
Woo-wee!
To be their quarterback when it comes to NIL. I'm curious what you think about this. So, I was somebody who, and it's probably because I'm a sentimental old head who likes the way things used to be, I was somebody who was concerned about NIL and the effect that it would have on younger players. Here is an 18-year-old coming out of high school who is going to be gifted, should he choose to change his mind and go play for Michigan, $10.5 million. And I would just ask, does this at all water down the talent, potentially in the future, water down the talent that eventually makes it to the NFL? Because a guy like this gets his $10.5 million, plays college for however long he plays college, and then decides, wait a minute, I already got the $10 million. I don't need to go play NFL football. Or am I being an idiot?
No, I think I wouldn't call you an idiot. I would just say that I think these guys that at that level, all levels, get to college because their goal is to get to the NFL. So even if he is getting $10 million, I don't think he's like, well, you know what? I'm not going to go to the NFL.
A lot of money, though.
I don't think it waters down people going to the NFL. I think it waters down talent. Because are guys going to be working as hard when they're in college, when they're already making $10.5 million?
Well, I think what it does is make more guys say, ooh, if I bust my ass, maybe I can get close to that. But depending
people busted their ass to get into to get their shot at the NFL, and right. Now if
we're talking about college, though.
I know, right. But when you were in college and you weren't making any money,
right? But then, but now these guys know. Like, so the next high school kid who's like, let's call him a sophomore in high school, who's really talented, he sees this kid get that type of money, he might be like, damn, if I bust my ass and I could be one of the best.
In high school.
In high school.
Yes.
I could be that next guy who gets that type of
money. I agree with you. But then when you get to college and you're making $10.5 million, you might take your foot off the gas a little bit. That's what would worry me, is that if you are already considered yourself, you know, a star.
Right.
And you're getting paid like a star, that, you know, nobody can tell you that you're not.
Do we need a salary cap in
no, do we have a salary cap for college coaches?
No.
Doesn't this prove just how much money, with the unpaid labor, the system took advantage of these kids?
Yeah.
Does Kirby Smart coach less strenuously because he makes $12 million a year?
Yeah.
No. $12 million in Athens, Georgia is like a billion here.
But Kirby Smart is of the Greg generation. We're talking about the generation you guys are constantly saying is soft. Okay.
Does Sean McVay not coach hard because he's making $15
million? Sean McVay is also not in the generation that we're saying is soft.
It's a lot of money to give an 18-year-old kid.
Probably in the NILs is probably like something written in there. I don't think it's fully guaranteed.
It's a ton of money. Yeah. He's going to be very popular when he arrives on campus, I'll tell you.
Well, Portnoy said it. Yeah. Portnoy said, listen, I'll go out and I'll give $3 million to a quarterback. So he's a big Michigan guy. And, you know, if you're that talent. Now, the thing is you have to prove it. Look at the kid from Tennessee, the Nico, I don't even know how to pronounce his last name, but coming out of high school, he was like considered one of those high recruits. You've got to be able to live up to it, Greg.
Okay. Well, that's a lot of money. $10.5 million.
Yep.
You get a big TV with that.
To make the switch to Michigan. All right. Coming up, we'll talk to Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Friday. Right now, Courtney with what is trending this hour.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. The Bruins get pummeled in Dallas. 7-2 was the final, with Jeremy Swayman making 31 saves on the night. Former Bruin Tyler Seguin became the first member of the 2010 NHL draft class to hit the 800-point mark. He got 2 points against his former team last night. Brandon Carlo hit the boards from what most are calling a dirty hit by Jamie Benn. Carlo,
extremely dirty.
Yeah.
There's no argument that you can make that, like, I don't understand why that ends up, first of all, being a minor. Secondly, you know the issues that he has had. He is literally defenseless. He actually turned himself around, Carlo, toward the board with his back to Ben so that he wouldn't get hit like that. And he boarded him. He face boarded him. Like, that should absolutely be a 5-minute major. Ridiculous.
He did go off the ice, brought back to the dressing room, but did return to the ice later.
That was good that he returned.
Yeah. Here's what Jim Montgomery had to say about that.
Yeah, he's a tough competitor. You know, one thing about Brando is he wears his heart out there on the ice, and he's a Bruin.
Just one quick note too. The Courtney had mentioned Tyler Seguin getting to 800 points out of the 2010 class. Can you believe Connor McDavid drafted five years later just hit 1,000 points?
Yeah, imagine that.
Unbelievable.
Can he get to 1,900 and pass Gretzky? That's going to be the next thing that everybody's going to be looking at.
The Bees are off tonight before welcoming the Blues to the Garden tomorrow. It's a doubleheader at the TD Garden. That Bruins game is at 1, and then a quick turnover for the Seas. They've got the Raptors at 8. The Eagles are 8-2 on the season. They beat the Commanders in Thursday Night Football. 26-18 was the final. It's a Patriots Friday. We're going to talk to Jelani Tavai this morning as the Pats won last weekend, and they've got a matchup with the Rams at 1 p.m. on Sunday at Gillette. Mike Tyson and Jake Paul will fight tonight on Netflix. That starts at 8 p.m. And head to the 99 restaurant this weekend for a three-course prime rib dinner. Enjoy a slow roasted prime rib, two sides, and a free three-course meal upgrade. Available Friday and Saturday after 4 p.m. and all day on Sunday. You gotta love the nines. That's what's trending. Here is Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. 31 degrees, cloudy in Boston. Afternoon high, partly cloudy, 54.
And Jelani Tavai on a Patriots Friday, brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh, and by FindMassMoney.gov. Hey, Jelani, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Congratulations on being a father.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
How many diapers have you changed so far?
About half.
Okay.
About half as much. Luckily, I'm experienced in changing diapers since I had a lot of younger brothers and sisters.
Okay.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Was there ever a question that you weren't going to make the game last Sunday after it? That's a quick turnaround for you to get on a flight, get to Chicago, and play there.
I mean, if baby was born on Sunday or Saturday, yeah, I probably would have missed it. But I was doing my best to, you know, get things rolling, I guess. But, you know, it was a blessing that I was able to, you know, be a part of both the win and to see my daughter be born.
Well, I'm glad you made it. Right. You got your first sack on the season on Sunday. So congrats on that.
Yeah.
We'll say goodbye to the sleep.
Yeah, I'm learning that quickly.
Right. When you look at, obviously, I think the biggest thing we look at as fans is, you know, can you guys put another one back together? Can you put another win back to back? What's the mindset in that locker room of coming out and showing, you know, not just – you're obviously showing yourselves in that locker room that, hey, we can win multiple games in a row coming out against a good Rams team this Sunday?
Well, that's been our focus since the rip, since probably Wednesday, you know, making sure that we stack our wins, whether it's just us being dialed in and focused and, like, preparing just as we did this past week. You know, it's really important to us because, you know, that way we can, I think once you stack the next win and the next win, it becomes like contagious, and you just get that adrenaline to want to win. And, you know, that's something that we have to learn to do.
Christian Barmore back at practice yesterday. Nice to have him back.
Yeah, it's great to have him back. He's he's one of the, I don't know if you guys ever talked to him, but he's a character, man. He's one of a kind, and I'm happy to have him back in there.
You've got a Rams team that's on a short week. They've got to fly across the country to play you guys on Sunday, but you also have a veteran quarterback in Matthew Stafford. How difficult will he be when you face him?
You know, he still got it. You know, so our biggest job is to make sure that we, like, as a defense, we got to communicate. You know. He's going to try and put them in the best situation possible for their offense, and we just got to make sure that our communication's on point with each other, and that way there's no hole shot for him to, you know, thread the ball in. So, And then on top of that, we just got to make sure that we continue to tackle well. You know, when we do those things, you know, it turns out pretty nicely. So I know the D-line's going to do their thing. And but it's just, we're just excited. You know, we're excited to get back out there, regardless who the opponent is. But yeah.
Jelani, you guys did a tremendous job against the run, the pass. You were physical defensively. You got after the quarterback. Those were the expectations, I think, that a lot of us expected from this defense this season. There's been a lot of inconsistency. What do you think has been the biggest issue to you guys in the fact that you've been so inconsistent, especially on defense?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I wouldn't know. I don't know. It's more of just, like, you kind of took my answer right there. We show at times that we can do it, but I'm not sure. I think when times get hard in games, we have to fall back to our fundamentals, and sometimes, you know, we don't. So I think that's one of the biggest things, just relying on our fundamentals when you know, the games get longer.
Jelani, our very own Courtney, and others in Boston are talking about this playoff push for the New England Patriots. Only two games out of the wild card, seven games to go. You guys got you going to cowboy up here? Do you have any like a tagline? Don't let us win today. You guys have any of that as you look to win your third game in four tries this Sunday?
I mean, our goal is to win regardless. That's been our North Star. You know, like. And we're going to focus on winning one week at a time and one day at a time, really, you know. And so far we've been doing well on our preparation for the Rams. And, yeah, we can't really think that far. We got to take this one game at a time.
Well, Jelani, I'm all in because I'm buying what Keon White was selling when he was asked what was clicking for the defense last week and said, you know, this is a young team and we're figuring out how to play together and that's what you guys are seeing now. Do you co-sign that? Is that you guys just spending the first half of the season figuring each other out and now you feel like you've gotten there?
I mean, I can relate with that. Yeah, definitely. You said a good point. You know, how many... I mean, I'm gonna ask you guys a question. How many of us are like returners? Like, how many like on defense? There's about what, three of us, four of us?
You, Duggar, Dedrick Wise, I would say.
Gonzalez.
Quale, yeah. But Gonzo played what, five games last year?
Yeah. Before he got hurt, yeah.
Yeah. So exactly. Yeah, Keon made a great point because it's. When we're all on the same page and that chemistry is like on point, it's. I mean, we put it out there, you know, last week. So I know that was last week and this is a whole new week, but that's something that we have to have as our standard, you know. And I know the guys have it in the back of their mind that that's our standard now, and we got to beat that standard every week. So that's going to be a goal of the whole defense.
Will your daughter be there Sunday, or too soon to take her out of the house?
Man, it's too cold out here now for a little baby.
That's way too soon.
We're Islanders, man. We got soft skin. We got to toughen it up.
All right. Well, go get them. And I know you got a meeting to get to, so we appreciate you taking the time. On a Patriots Friday, Jelani Tavai. There he is. New dad. Jelani Tavai.
Well, if they can keep up the pressure like they had last week, because that's what wins games, and that's what will get Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford will give you some opportunities, especially if you pressure him for interceptions.
Yeah, but they have a much better line. Like,
no, I know that, but you're going to have to win your... Bears win your one-on-one.
That line was awful.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to have to win your one-on-ones, and, you know, I think you have a good secondary that can, you know, cover... You know, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. But if they can get after the quarterback and do the things, because that was our expectations, like I told them, I think we all expected that this defense would be one of the better defenses. And he just said when things get close is when they kind of get away from doing the small things.
To Wiggy's point, too, Matthew Stafford has a 0% scramble rate this year. That means he has not scrambled once on a single play all year. So he is absolutely gettable in the backfield.
All right. Well, it's a Patriots Friday, and you will hear from the New England Patriots all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We are going to get to They Said It next, a back and forth on what they said yesterday, including who Jim Montgomery says is the player that he continues to have an issue with. We'll get to that and the rest of They Said It coming up next.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.